Welcome to New World Newts, hosted by Kenneth Doust. This week, the wisdom of the American Indian. Why everybody was better off back when we were hunter-gatherers. Reconnecting with nature, some music, and more. It's all in a fine audio collage by Virtual Renderings called True to Earth. I hope you'll stay tuned. One of the nice things about producing a non-commercial radio program is that you can broadcast voices that are worth hearing but seldom heard. One of my own enthusiasms is a recording artist known as Chaz K. He's also known as Virtual Renderings. He has never charged a dime for his recordings but gives them away on the internet. Chaz K's themes are right up the alley of New World Notes, the depredations and degradations of our capitalist system, the climate crisis, the insanity of biotech agriculture, and the urgent need to get back in touch with the natural world, and back in touch with the wisdom of indigenous cultures and other marginalized people. If Chaz K's themes are right up New World Notes' alley, his techniques are very different from mine. He creates hour-long audio collages. In them, he weaves together parts from lectures and interviews, snippets from movies or TV broadcasts, popular songs. At their best, these audio collages are very good indeed. You'll find his complete works on radioforall.net, and you'll find a handy link to all 114 of them on our own webpage, which is newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Chaz K. and I have cordially corresponded, perhaps a dozen times over the past decade. It pains me to say that I do not know if he is now alive or dead. My emails in recent months have gone unanswered. A mutual friend reports the same. Chaz K's latest audio collage, Tales of the Green Path, was released in March 2018. Since then, in the town where he lives, two people with the same real name as his have died. No obituaries published in either case. I am hoping that Chaz K. is alive and well and just feeling uncommunicative, or perhaps off studying indigenous American cultures at first hand. Well, that's my hope. Which brings me to today's audio collage installment and next week's. The piece is titled True to Earth, and it was created back in 2013. It makes much use of American Indian beliefs and values, particularly Indians' holistic sense of being a part of the biosphere rather than apart from the biosphere. Some of the voices it presents are of Indians, including Orem Lyons, Professor John Mohawk, and the Navajo psychologist Leslie Gray. The collage also discusses the historical replacement of hunter-gatherer societies, like the Indians, by agricultural societies, like ours. It argues that this was a bad move for humanity and for the rest of the natural world. Sorry, PETA. Continuing to eat roots, berries, and freshly killed venison would have been a lot better than planting amber waves of grain. Well, the collage does make a pretty good case for that position. Two professorial notes before we begin Virtual Renderings True to Earth. One, I have shortened most of the musical selections. Two, I tell my English composition students, do not expect to find an essay's thesis sentence right at the beginning of the essay. It could be anywhere, or it could be unstated. Just to teach me a little humility, Chaz K. has placed his thesis sentence at the very beginning, The first words, in fact. So get out your pens and notebooks and pay close attention.
If there is one single fatal systems error in human civilization, it's the illusion that as human beings, we are somehow separate from the natural world. In reality, we're part of nature, not apart from it. But is there also more to the story? Almost all indigenous traditions, our old-growth cultures, describe the sacred geography of a world where everything is alive and related. They make no separation between matter and spirit. We are part of a much larger intelligence embodied in all life and in the universe.
In the reality of many realities, how we see what we see affects the quality of our reality.
We are these memories running through your veins, racing across your mind, beating in your heart. We are
children of earth and sky. DNA, descendant, now ancestor, human being, physical spirit, bone, flesh, blood, as spirit. We are in time and space, but we're from beyond time and space. The past is part of the present. The future is part of the present. Life and being are interwoven.
In a universe of beings intimately related, the biosphere is our family. And that family has family values. And the family values of this American land, the traditional family values of this American land, are gratitude, respect for nature's cycles, the sacred, harmony, and above all, reciprocity. Don't take something without giving something back.
Truly restoring the earth will not be achieved with technical solutions alone. It also demands a change of heart, a fearless exploration of what it means to be a whole human being, who we are, how we are, where we belong, and what we're responsible for.
We seriously need to examine our perception of reality, because everything that happens and unfolds is through perception. So reality is, all right, but then reality is also as we perceive it. And so for the damage that the human beings are causing to the life entity of Earth, that's the disease, because our perception of reality is not synchronized to the reality of reality.
Prototype people, rigid suit trolls near brain dead, under for spacious skies gathering storm clouds, rule of law, a falling axe in stormtroopers' hands. Cruel class deceivers claim God for their sign, making up stories with places for meanings to hide. Dracula drinks deeply while nourishing his trap, the love of mankind, an alluring narcotic rap.
Fable.
Sex
Fable
does love, sex is life, and sex meant death.
Reality.
Homosexual needles
Reality.
As if laboratories don't exist. Bacterial warfare, AIDS, testament to death man's kiss. Drug master using drugs to blame poverty and crime. Money master cashes in on the people's golden light. Skulls and crossbones uniformly waiting in time. Raging peace, stone Satan spoiling for the fight. In wars for souls, prophets are in casualties, spilling scenes from fables and other realities.
To resynchronize our individual collective realities, we need to recognize who we are. And I think that, see, and I think that that's not happening right now. I think that we've been programmed and distorted and had programmed perceptions of reality put into our imagination and our intelligence that were deliberately put there so that we would not recognize who we are. Because then the chaos of our lives is much easier to perpetuate and create. People are rushing out of political urgencies and economic urgencies and desperations, rushing to create movement that in the long run is not really moving anything, right? Except we went through some motion, but we didn't in the end really get anywhere. And I say that because my whole life, I've seen the activists, social consciousness. I've seen the good, we'll call the good guys. But the bad guys are still the bad guys. And the good guys are more desperate than they ever were. See, so something's missing. You know, and I know our intentions and our motives are good, our ideals. I know all that's good. So what exactly is it that's missing? And I think that the missing part is that we don't recognize ourselves, and because we don't recognize the reality of who we are, we don't recognize power. So I think we really need to understand who we are as human beings and the reality of what it means to be a human being, because any relationships we have to the reality of power itself, the way reality has defined it, isn't through that relationship of human being being human.
I'm a member of the Society of Indian Psychologists, and at one of our gatherings a number of years ago, one of the students had taken on as a project to go back and interview her grandmother. She was Navajo. And she asked her grandmother if her grandmother could remember any old Navajo insults. What would a really insulting thing be to say in the old way? And her grandmother thought for a really long time, and she said, well, it would be translated, he acts as if he has no relatives.
The worst Navajo insult is to accuse someone of living as if they have no relatives. The concern is that the dominant modern view of ourselves is fundamentally separate, of our individual isolation, of our not being related, may be killing us. This is the concern coming from indigenous communities today.
Relationship, I guess, is what is really fundamental to our existence. So often you'll hear us call the winds our grandfathers, or you'll hear us call the thunder and the lightning our grandfathers, and the moon our grandmother, and the sun our eldest brother, and the earth our mother, and the earth our grandmother. We say that because it denotes a relationship of love, a very close relationship of appreciation. That's how Native people kept their relationship with the earth itself.
I really believe that a culture that is disconnected from nature goes insane. A people who have no direct connection to nature lose their minds. Whereas if we make nature the center of our lives, it's a very different relationship. We make sacred the things that we think support us. So these are the things we've made sacred.
Zip-ride-o, everyone's a winner, bargains galore. That's right, you two can be the proud owner. The quality goes in before that name goes on. One-tenth of a dollar, one-tenth of a dollar. We got service after the sale. How about perfume? We got perfume. How about an engagement ring? Some for the little lady, some for the little lady, some for the little lady. $3-$4. We got a year-end clearance. We got our white sale and a smoke-damaged furniture. You can drive it away today. Act now. act now and receive as our gift to you. They come in all colors, one size fits all. No muss, no fuss, no spills. You tired of kitchen drudgery? Everything must go. Going out of business, going out of business, going out of business sale. 50% off original retail price. Skip the middle man. Don't settle for less. How do we do it? How do we do it? Volume, volume. Turn up the volume. You heard it advertised. Don't hesitate. Don't be caught with the drawers down. Don't be caught with the drawers down. You can step right up.
But there's a conflict in that a farming people are terrified of the wild. A hunter-gatherer people, a foraging people, the wild is what sustains them. But when you're an agricultural people, the wild is where the deer come from and eat your crops, and the bugs come from and eat your crops, and the bears come and tear down your fences, and those wild people out there come. And Sitting Bull and his people had no use for our laws. I mean, there was nothing, and by our, I mean people of European descent, my ancestors, had no use for these laws. There was nothing that the U.S. government or agriculture could offer them. They really were the freest people in the world. And that is a frightening concept to an agricultural people. People you can't control, you have nothing to offer them, and so we exterminate them. That's pretty much our response to that. So what this transition from hunter-gatherer to agriculture really was our domestication. We domesticated a lot of plants and a lot of animals, but we're the most domesticated species of all. I mean, my dog is way wilder than I am. You know, I'm a lot more tame.
Do you feel it in the sunshine? Do you feel it in the rain? Do you feel it in the ocean when the waves are clear? Do you feel it in the evenings when the moon is up? Do you feel it in your bones when it fills you up? Oh yeah, yeah, speeds good luck. Mother Earth, Mother Earth.
First, if we look at the spread of agriculture, agriculture arose in a bunch of different places around the planet in different ways, but the principal center for it was in the Middle East, and this was grain agriculture here. And grain agriculture is a particularly aggressive form of agriculture. If you're growing yams or even corn or beans or squash or something like that, you can just poke a few seeds or tubers in the ground kind of in any little clear spot and they'll probably do just fine. With grains, you really need to clear the soil, till the soil, and it requires a good bit of processing as well. So it requires large areas that are devoted really to nothing but grains as opposed to something like a potato or squash or anything like that that just sort of trail up around the existing vegetation. So it's a clear-cut type of agriculture. It really requires a very aggressive treatment. It also spreads very easily because you clear the ground. You can do it almost anywhere, right? You can clear the ground and anywhere the climate will permit your grains to grow, you can grow them there. And what grain agriculture really means is you can store it better than almost any other form of food. You can store it for a long time. You dry it and store it. So this means you get a storable surplus. And this is another huge game changer. When you can store a surplus of something, all these other things begin to happen that are prompted by that, that are made necessary because of it. The first is when you've got, you know, you're storing food over the winter, you need a place to store it. You need a technology. You need buildings. You also need someone to make sure it doesn't get stolen. You need, you know, police or security or goons or whoever it is, somebody. So you need a security state to protect it. You need someone to parcel it out. And this is the Lord, and acts the lord of the manor. Kind of the origin of the English word, the old English word lord, is hlaford, which is literally loaf ward, the keeper of the loaf, the keeper of the grain. That's what lord, that's the origination of the word lord, is the keeper of the grain. So it's literally the person who controls your food supply is the lord, the earthly lord. You need accountants to measure it, to make sure it's all divvied up fairly or according to the rules, which means you need rules to regulate who gets it and when, how it's divided out, and you need punishment for people who disobey these rules. So this whole set of hierarchical regulations and powers comes out of a storable surplus. So it's a pretty dangerous thing that horticultural, meaning pre-agricultural or non-agricultural people, and hunter-gatherers don't have anywhere near as much. Their hierarchies are much flatter.
They came in the night and they came in the day. They came till they took it all away. And all they left was a background. No light can be found. Didn't give a reason and they didn't say why. Millions of trees had to die. In the name of progress was all they'd say. Step aside and get out of our way. Where we gonna go when the rain don't make our garden grow, when the soil's too dry for our seeds to sow? How long till we learn? You play with fire and you're sure to burn. A one-way ticket with a no return. Cause where we gonna go? Well, I don't know. Threat to all below and our pollution stops our rivers flow. It's time you and me we take responsibility. It's a fragile world in dire need. Cause where we gonna go? Well, I don't know. Spending money finding life on Mars doesn't make any sense to me. I try to live at the bottom of the ocean. Some things are not meant to be. What I wanna know is where we're gonna go when the oceans rise and the strong winds blow and the temperature melts the ice and snow. Time to wait. Won't be long and it'll be too late. In this together and we're all at stake. Cause where we gonna go? I don't know.
There are concepts we need to be examining. And like the idea of freedom. I think freedom, I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all, you know, because I don't think life is about freedom. I've come to that conclusion. Life isn't about freedom. Life is about being free and responsibility. And there's a difference between being free and freedom. You live in this illusionary conceptual freedom, but you don't feel free. So obviously there is a difference. And you go to the vast majority of human beings, citizens, all right, that live in this conceptual freedom. How many of them feel free? All right. How many of them feel free from economic threat? How many of them feel free that, well, I'm going to be taken care of when I get old, or if I get sick, somebody, you know, it's going to be okay? How many of them feel free from what would be just called crime? Or how many of them feel free from being in a secure relationship because they know they found that in their relationships? So in this whole land of freedom, Nobody feels free. But we've been programmed to rah-rah the chant, freedom, 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 freedom. And now we come back in, and the most basic part of that is that for me to stand and say I believe in freedom, then that means that predator, that racist, that pedophile, all right, that land raper, they have the freedom. Because who am I to say they don't have the freedom? See, so maybe life isn't about freedom. Maybe life is about responsibility. No maybe to it. Life is about responsibility. As human beings, we were given intelligence. And this is how we manifest our power. That gift was a gift of responsibility. We have a responsibility to use our intelligence clearly and coherently. And when we understand that responsibility, then we will be free. I'm not saying oppressors go. I'm talking about being free. Creating that energy, individual, collective energy, mass of being free, then that automatically changes everything. See, so we really need to understand that's our power, not the economic, religious, political, social system. We don't really have power in there. We're just in there. Our power is in us.
Backed by the guns of market-hungry military profiteers, whose word is a swamp and whose brow is smeared with the blood of the poor. Who rob life of its quality, who render rage a necessity, by turning countries into labor camps, modern slavers and dragons champions of freedom.
Bruce Coburn's biting satire on freedom, capitalist imperialist style. With this, we must end part one of Virtual Renderings True to Earth. On our website, you'll find links to the complete version of Virtual Renderings' entire catalog, and links to New World Notes' entire catalog, too. Just mosey on over to newworldnotes.blogspot.com. From Darkest Connecticut, this is Kenneth Doust, thanking you for listening, reminding you that you are not alone, and hoping you'll tune in again for part two of True to Earth next week. As Chief Halftown used to say at the end of his children's TV program, Ista sa sasaway.
Open for business like a cheap bordello, and they call it democracy. And they call it democracy.